Calls for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas are growing, with demonstrations in Washington, D.C., New York, France, and the U.K. over the weekend. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected proposals for a ceasefire or a humanitarian pause, a break in the war to aid civilians in Gaza.
They are very, very worried that Hamas will exploit anything that is happening on the ground to the benefit of Hamas.
Former U.S. Ambassador to NATO Ivo Dalder spoke to NPR about Israel's refusal.
It's one of the reasons it's been so hard to get humanitarian assistance in. Israel doesn't want any fuel because they fear that fuel that might be meant for generators at hospitals will actually be diverted to Hamas to allow it to fight.
The Ministry of Health in Gaza has reported more than 10,000 people killed since October 7th when Israel retaliated after an attack by Hamas. With no end to the war in sight and with food, water, and electricity in short supply, thousands of people in Gaza are hoping for a chance to flee into Egypt through the border crossing at Rafah. Consider this. Since the Rafah border opened up last week, it has been flooded with people hoping to leave. Coming up, we'll hear from someone who did. From NPR, I'm Juana Summers. It's Monday, November 6th.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Stearns & Foster. To Stearns & Foster, your comfort is their everything. So they've made a mattress that's irresistible inside and out. Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted. Every stitch, every layer uses the finest materials, like indulgent memory foam and ultra-conforming IntelliCoils for the coziness you want with the support you need. Timeless quality for your most comfortable sleep. Stearns & Foster, what comfort should be. More at stearnsandfoster.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon.
It's Consider This from NPR. Since the Rafah border between Gaza and Egypt opened last week, only a trickle of people have been allowed to pass through, a few hundred at a time. My colleague Mary Louise Kelly is in Tel Aviv and brought us this story of an American citizen who managed to make it out of Gaza.
Not enough journalists on the ground, and frequent phone and internet blackouts have meant it's been hard to get a clear picture of what life is like for people in Gaza. That picture is becoming a little more clear now that some foreign nationals have been allowed to cross from Gaza into Egypt. One of them is 65-year-old Qasem Ali.
From Gaza, grew up in the village called Beit Hanun, which is now almost wiped out.
Qasem is a journalist, studied in America. In 1997, he got U.S. citizenship. He is also a citizen of Malta. Over a Zoom call, he told me he was visiting his mother.
She's about 90 years old.
In northern Gaza, 2 miles or so from the border with Israel, when, on October 7th, Hamas insurgents crossed the border into Israel, killing more than 1,400 people, taking more than 200 others hostage. The morning the war began, Qasem was up on the rooftop garden of his family home.
You know, I love gardening, so I have nice garden roof. And, you know, I wake up, I hear the missiles going, you know.
The missiles, yeah.
Former journalist, I pick up the mobile phone and started filming.
That video shows a beautiful, lush garden full of plants and birds chirping. A stunning sunrise, and then explosions, one after another. They were close.
So I figured out it will be serious. So I decide to take a shower before Israelis. It's crazy, but that's the reality, you know. So I took a shower quickly because I don't want to be dying while I'm naked, you know. So I collect my handbag after I shower, pick up my mother, the old mother, and went to Gaza.
They fled to Gaza City, to his sister's apartment.
Then, you know, like the bombardment went after us.
The missiles followed them. So they fled again. I asked him, what day was that?
You don't know days, my friend. You don't know. It is Monday or a Friday or all the days is the same. So if you ask me now, you know, after I left, what's the date? I don't know. That's the life of war, especially this war. I have been covering all the wars in Gaza, but this is different. This is not just a war. This is more than a war. This is more than a war.
But despite all this, despite the violence, despite not knowing what day it is, despite being a U.S. citizen, Qasem told me he didn't think about trying to leave. Not at first.
I want to stay with my sister and my mother. But then I managed to talk to my daughter. She's 13 years old, Nadia.
His 13-year-old daughter, Nadia. She lives in Canada.
And I couldn't, you know, die without seeing her. So then I decided to leave.
He didn't hear anything from the American government, even after he registered as a citizen trying to leave. But it was his American passport that got him out.
No, the American passport.
Through the Rafah crossing into Egypt this past Friday. He says then they were all put on a bus for hours, lots of checkpoints, searches, until eventually he got to Cairo Saturday morning and was put up in a hotel.
The only thing I want to do is just to have a shower for 26 days. You don't even wash your face or brush your teeth and in the same clothes.
He finally took a shower, his first since that morning the war began, at his family home in northern Gaza 26 days earlier. So you're speaking to us now from Cairo.
Yes.
But you can't stay there. You're going to have to move on to Malta, right?
I have to leave tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning.
Because they give us 72 hours. I don't understand why. You have to leave. So I decide to go to Malta and to spend some time there and to think what I'm going to do after I feel I'm recovered.
Yeah. So where is your mother now? Where is your sister? Where's your family?
My mother and my sister and my niece and nephew is still there in Gaza. They refuse to leave. They decide if we're going to die, let's die in our house. Of course, this is why I'm not happy leaving, because I'm worried about my mother. She raised us, 7 kids, by herself, get the best education. So I love my mother, and now I'm leaving her.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Then, you know, people thinking, you know, I'm happy to leave. No. Usually, I travel a lot in my life out of Gaza. And always, I am happy to get out of Gaza. Even I love Gaza and always come back to it. But the feeling that you are free after you cross Rafah, I feel like I'm free. But this time, I didn't feel I'm free because it's still part of me still in Gaza.
You're saying you usually feel free when you leave Gaza. You don't now, and that's because your family's there?
Not at all. I'm telling you, frankly, this is how I feel. This time, I'm feeling sad and angry.
You said you feel angry now. At who? Who do you blame for what's happening to your home, to your family?
Oh, Israelis and Americans. And really, I'm angry at Mr. Biden.
Even though the U.S. got you to safety?
Oh, not at all. Take me to safety? No, not at all. When they're helping destruction of your own people, I think American government, even with this situation, they were cheap. When they put us in the hotel and they tell us you have to leave in 72 hours, if you want to go to the States or you have to organize the ticket. What? This is American government which is giving Israel $14 billion and they are not capable of taking charters for their own citizen to United States and told me I have to be thankful for the American government. Why? Their duty to protect and to help their own citizen. No, I'm not happy at all. And I'm not happy the way they behave.
As for what's next, Qasem wants to see Nadia, his daughter in Canada, and his other kids, but not right away.
I need not to go now because I need to recover.
He says he needs time, psychologically and physically. He says he wants to protect his kids, to protect Nadia from what he's experienced.
You know, it's not talk to her about misery and war and all of this things happening to everybody in Gaza.
He doesn't want to bring the war to her. He just witnessed so many kids in Gaza who have no choice but to stay and live through it.
That was my co-host Mary Louise Kelly talking with Qasem Ali, an American citizen from Gaza who was allowed to leave late last week. It's Consider This from NPR. I'm Juana Summers.
On this week's episode of Wildcard, actor Chris Pine tells us it's okay not to be perfect.
My film got absolutely decimated when it premiered, which brings up for me one of my primary triggers or whatever is like not being liked.
I'm Rachel Martin. Chris Pine on how to find joy in imperfection. That's on NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, the game where cards control the conversation.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the NPR Wine Club. Get the world of wine delivered to your door. When you join the NPR Wine Club, you'll receive the stories behind every bottle and favorite NPR shows and personalities arriving in liquid form, like Weekend Edition Cabernet and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Zinfandel. The NPR Wine Club is a delicious way to support NPR's programming. If you're 21 or older, uncork a special offer at nprwineclub.org/podcast. This message comes from NPR sponsor Homes.com. Homes.com knows having the right agent can make or break your home search. That's why they provide home shoppers with an agent directory that gives you a detailed look at each agent's experience, like the number of closed sales in a specific neighborhood, average price range, and more. It lets you easily connect with all the agents in the area you're searching, so you can find the right agent with the right experience and ultimately the right home for you. Homes.com. We've done your homework.